This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 8:06, 70 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 85. Mostly sunshine today. Tonight, the clear skies with lows in the middle 60s, and then a slight chance of rain on Saturday night, and Sunday. In mid-July, UNC's faculty chair Jan Boxall was accused by the News and Observer of a cover-up for an internal university email about how to title a supporter of athletics in regards to the review of the African and Afro-American Studies Department. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
Boxall says she was cast in a negative light just by trying to help the university in a time when it was on thin ice with the NCAA, the media, and even the public.
It's painful. I've been trying in very many ways to get out in front of some of the things, and also to recognize that no issue is simple.
The AFAM scandal prompted internal reviews, as well as a review by former North Carolina Governor Jim Martin, which concluded, among other things, that the issue within the department dated back to 1997, and an ongoing review led by the president of the Association of American Universities, Hunter Rawlings. Aside from being the faculty chair, Boxall is the director of the Parr Center for Ethics and a senior lecturer in philosophy. She says one of the areas she teaches a lot about is taking the broad approach rather than narrowing the focus.
Every issue we deal with is complex, whether it's affirmative action, whether it's abortion, whether it's the voters' rights, and whether it's the sports. It's so complicated, but when we try to just sort of focus on one part of it, you lose the force.
And she says that by the NNO pointing out just a small segment of a chain of emails written between faculty, the issue was taken out of context.
It's easy to criticize one aspect, but if you look at the overarching, and then you see there's a lot more strands than just a single issue, because it's always easy to take a single issue.
Boxall explains the correspondence in question was within a subcommittee she formed out of the elected Faculty Executive Committee, of which she says she found three of the most critically minded faculty. She says she formed the subcommittee after four or five faculty told her enough was enough and that the faculty needed to take a proactive approach and get to the bottom of the situation.
It had nothing to do with the NCAA. It was clearly only a faculty committee.
The NNO reported that Boxall urged a change in the report's wording so the NCAA wouldn't return for another round of investigations. However, Boxall says the requested change came down to the use of term booster when describing Debbie Crowder in the subcommittee's report.
Booster has a specific meaning for the NCAA, as somebody brought up in the meeting, not me. They said, well, let's change it then, because we're not intending to use their definition. We're looking at it as simply a supporter.
She says the subcommittee then decided that anyone could be a supporter of athletics.
In the end, people thought that this claim wasn't even relevant or wasn't important because it didn't change any of the recommendations. It was the recommendations that we felt were the most important. They stayed, and it was out of those recommendations came the Governor Martin report and the Hunter Rawlings panel, which we're still waiting on.
The public release of emails, as requested by the NNO, came nearly a year after they were written, which Boxall attributes to the mere fact of the high volume of public information requested. Boxall says the fact that the information was received in email form and without the whole story, the narrow focus rather than broad, as she mentioned, likely contributed to the situation being taken out of context.
Emails are not the best way to communicate because you read them as you want to read them, not as perhaps they were intended.
Boxall's three-year term as faculty chair expires in June. She says while she's enjoyed her time in that position, she'll be continuing to focus on reviewing policies and procedures at UNC in new and different ways, including a summit this spring in which she says she will be teaming up with different departments of the university. To read the article published in July by the News and Observer, you can view this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
UNC Provost Jim Dean says university leaders are in the process of putting the final touches on this year's budget.
We're running a fiscal year budget. It runs from July through June, but we can't really do our budgeting until the legislature does their budget and then the general administration does their budget. We're downstream from that, so we're getting close to the end of the budgeting.
At its August 9th meeting, the UNC Systems Board of Governors made its allocations for the 16 UNC campuses based on the North Carolina General Assembly's two-year budget plan. The legislature's spending plan, which was approved in July, called for substantial cuts to the University of North Carolina system. The spending plan designated $115 million in permanent funding reductions to the system's base operating budget. State budget cuts also call for the elimination of all funding for the UNC School of Medicine. 5 years ago, appropriations for the School of Medicine were about $46 million.
We did better than we might have done, but maybe not quite so well as we would have hoped in certain areas that we did end up with some budget cuts again. They're not bad as we had feared at one point, but
during four consecutive years of state budget cuts since the economic downturn, UNC campuses, including Chapel Hill's campus, have faced significant reductions in state funding. Carolina's taken about $235 million in total state cuts since 2008, according to UNC's website. Year after year, Orange County consistently ranks as the wealthiest in the state of North Carolina. But poverty, even here, continues to be a nagging and serious issue. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
There's a big disparity between wealth. There continues to be growth in childhood poverty, and that is one that we need to pay close attention to.
That's Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce President Aaron Nelson reporting new data on wealth, poverty, and money at his annual State of the Community presentation this week. Orange County ranks first in the state with a per capita income of $48,683 in 2011, well above the state average of $36,000. But in spite of that, our poverty rate is also well above the state average. In 2011, 16.9% of Orange County residents were living below the poverty line, compared to 16.1% of all North Carolinians and 14.3% of all Americans. The percentage is even higher in Chapel Hill alone, where 22.1% of residents lived below the poverty line in 2011.
Some folks have often discounted that. Well, that's just the student population, right? Well, because when you knock on a student's door, the census taker says, how much money do you have? And they're like, zero. But our poverty level is high. We ought not to discount it simply because it includes students.
For the first time, researchers this year were able to distinguish between students and non-students when analyzing wealth and poverty in the area. Students do account for much of the poverty rate in Chapel Hill, but that poverty rate is still elevated even when they're taken out of the equation. About 10% of Chapel Hill's non-student population lives below the poverty line, a poverty rate that's less than the state average, but still more than twice as high as nearby communities like Apex and Cary. And Nelson says the childhood poverty rate is even higher and growing.
And that is on the rise, and in a pretty serious way, up from 23% to 26% in Chapel Hill City Schools and 39 to 41 in Orange County Schools.
Those numbers refer to the percentage of economically disadvantaged children, which is to say children who qualify for free and reduced lunch. 26.5% of Chapel Hill Carborough City School students and 41.6% of Orange County School students qualified for free and reduced lunch in 2011-2012, the highest percentage in both districts since at least 2006, when the chamber began collecting data. And the high level of need in Orange County is at odds with the common perception of Chapel Hill as a wealthy community, a disconnect that actually makes it harder for governmental and non-governmental organizations to address the real need that exists. Here's Nelson.
We all know about Chapel Hill syndrome, right? Some donors get this. It's a belief that we don't need anything. Orange County doesn't need anything, right? You're the highest per capita income. You got all the resources you need. The university's there. The hospital's there. Your economy is bulletproof. But the reality is some of us feel that way and forget to reinvest and take a look under the rocks on what's going on in our community with respect to poverty, particularly children in poverty.
Nelson delivered his State of the Community report on Tuesday at the Friday Center. You can see the full presentation by viewing this story on our website, chapelborough.com. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, election season is here, and the race is on for 10 candidates who are trying to get 4 seats on the town council. That story coming up in just a moment. WCHL News Time, 8:14. Time for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Southern Rail, an eclectic mix of restaurant, the Station Bar, and Beer Garden, and the Tiger Room. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carborough. Now with your morning traffic, WCHL here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. We're seeing a couple slowdowns on 15501 southbound. Just as you pass by NC54, we're seeing some delays between NC54 and Manning Drive. Also, 15501 southbound right around South Columbia, less than a mile worth of a delay there, probably just a stoplight, and right around that interchange, seeing some delays and causing that backup. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly on I-40, 15501 elsewhere, NC54, and the Durham Freeway. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you in just a little while here. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, presented by the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, which ignores private parties on a patio with with special indoor-outdoor capabilities. Guests can lounge and enjoy their favorite dishes crafted to order by the Tobacco Road Chef. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54 in Chapel Hill. It's 71 degrees in Chapel Hill, 70 in Carrboro, where it's always a degree cooler. Mostly sunny with a high in the middle 80s. Tonight, mostly clear with a low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies. Isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. Chance of rain 20% tomorrow night as well, same thing. Then on Sunday, 30% chance of rain with a high in the upper 80s. So, actually pretty good weather for the weekend.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL Newstime 8:16. Not a lot of highlights from last night's football game.
Three receivers to the far side, one to the near. The snap a little off the mark. Renner able to get it. Goes to the back of the end zone for six. Renner to South Carolina native Quinshaw Davis for the touchdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, somehow the man behind that voice managed to get out of bed this morning and call the radio station to talk about this game. How you doing, Jones Angel?
Ron, what's going on with you? I was getting hives when I was sitting here on hold hearing you do the weather, saying there's a 20% chance of thunderstorms. We saw plenty of that last night in Columbia. We don't need you to see any more thunderstorms for a while.
Not only that, but you guys are saying the temperature at game time was 97 degrees.
And then by the end of that storm, it was probably about 77. That was one of the dangest weather things I've ever seen, man. I mean, it was, you could see the storm coming. And the lightning was just violent out in the southeastern part of the stadium. And when it started raining, it was so strange. You could see it coming across the field. When it first started, where we were on the west side of the stadium, well, it was dry. But you could see it migrating across the field. And, boy, it really was a violent storm. And just a kind of a stinky way to end what was a stinky night for the Tar Heels last night when, certainly from the very beginning, dug themselves a hole and just could never quite get out of it against the Gamecocks.
Well, the Gamecocks struck like lightning at the very beginning of the game. Just over a minute into it, they were already up 7-0. But it was a night that I wouldn't characterize it as a night that South Carolina just dominated us. It's just we didn't play well.
No, I think you're exactly right, Ron, and that's not in any way to discredit South Carolina or suggest the Gamecocks aren't a good team, because I think they are, but you know, I think Larry Fedora was right in the post game where he just said, you know, he's just disappointed with the way the Tar Heels played, because Tar Heels never really gave themselves a chance to win that ball game. And I thought that was perhaps of many frustrating things last night. The most frustrating is a couple of times, Ron, in the game, you know, the Tar Heels just kind of felt we're getting back in it. You know, they had taken that big punch at the beginning and falling down 17-0, and then had that really quality drive in the second quarter to make it 17-7. Defense had a huge three and out. South Carolina, I think, lost 10 or 11 yards actually on the possession, punted, and the Heels would have had the ball at worst at midfield, and they just made a fair catch of the football. And T.J. Thorpe, unfortunately, fumbled the punt. And, you know, that was a big play. Just felt like it kind of took the wind out of the sails of the Heels a little bit. And then in the second half, when the Heels took the opening kickoff, marched down the field, had to settle for a field goal, but cut it to 20-10, and you're kind of thinking, okay, a defensive stop here, get the ball back in the offense's hands, and boom, first play, Mike Davis goes 75 yards on just a poor defensive play by Carolina, a couple missed tackles and things like that. And I thought those two plays summed it up last night for the Tar Heels, along with that really quick start for the Gamecocks.
Jones, I don't know about you, but I guess it shows how much I know, but I really thought the second half, or at least the latter portions of the second half, was going to belong to Carolina, because I thought the Tar Heels were conditioned in a superior way, and it appeared to me that the Gamecocks were just gassed and just gasping for air.
Yeah, there were times I do think that the Tar Heel conditioning and the Tar Heel pace paid off, Ron. But I do think that delay came at such an odd time. I mean, there was 8 minutes and 20 seconds left in the ball game, and it was a long delay. I mean, we all know that it was almost 2 hours that the game was stopped, and So I do think you lost a little bit of an advantage in that regard. Of course, at that point of the game, I don't know if the Tar Heels would have been able to make what would have been a great comeback at that point, as the time was starting to get low on them. But I know they'd sure like to have given it a shot without having to have that big delay. So it's so tough, Ron, when you have a performance like that. It's hard to find the positives in the immediate aftermath. But I do think there were some good things for the Tar Heels last night that they can take out of it. But right now, obviously, everybody's thinking about what did go right, because the Heels are so disappointed with the way they played.
Well, Jones, I can take one positive out of it that you probably haven't thought about, because I know that since you had to talk so much last night, since you guys were on during all that delay, it kind of reminded me of baseball season when you used to do baseball, and you guys could talk about anything for hours, and you're completely warmed up now for the football season. So congratulations.
That's right. That's right, yeah. We were trying in the middle of the game to get Gary Sobel, our general manager, to see if we'd get Gary to start paying us by the word last night, but we couldn't get him to change those contracts over to say that. So we'll just have to take it as it is. But, you know, it's the first broadcast for us. There were some hiccups and bumps on the road, just like there were for the Tar Heels. But overall, we felt good about it and hoping to be better next week, and hope the Tar Heels have a little better outcome next week too.
Well, the Tar Heels will be playing at home next week. That's going to be a new, a different ball game altogether, and hopefully they can manage somehow to take some positives out of this game and move on, because as Coach Fedora said after the game when he was talking to you, all our goals are still ahead of us. So, you know, it's not all lost.
Very true, Ron. I think that's it. I think win or lose, even if Carolina won last night, and obviously we'd feel a lot better if they did, but the season wasn't going to be automatically a success if they won, and it's not automatically a bad season now because they didn't. Next four games, they have two division games on the road, Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. So there's some plenty of things in the immediate future for the Tar Heels that are going to tell them, that are going to give a little better picture into this season, I think, about how they'll do.
Jones, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and good job last night. I wish the team had performed better, but, you know, it's another day next Saturday.
You know, Ron, look forward to talking with you next week.
All right, buddy. Have a good day. It's 8:22. Jones Angel probably going to go back to sleep now, I hope, at any rate, get a little rest. Had to be a grueling night last night. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, and we're going to talk more about this game. Carolina fell short of a victory, obviously, against South Carolina last night. Final score, 27-10, in a game that was delayed by nearly an hour and a half by the lightning storm. Gamecocks really struck like lightning in the very beginning of the game last night, and it was kind of downhill from there for a while.
Shaw will go deep after the play action, has a man there for the touchdown. Shaq rolling over the top of Tim Scott, and South Carolina, just like that, a minute and 19 seconds into the game, takes the lead.
That's how it happened at the very beginning of the game. That, of course, the voice of Jones Angel. After the game, head coach Larry Fedora said he was disappointed in the way his team played in such a big game on such a tremendous stage.
And we didn't play the way we wanted to play, obviously. I mean, we knew we were going to have it. It would be tough coming in here to their stadium and playing a game at this in this situation. And I just was disappointed in the way we played in all three phases of the game, you know. But you got to give South Carolina credit. They're a good football team.
Ultimately, it was the Tar Heels' inability to stop the big play that led to the downfall.
Yeah, we worked a lot on eliminating big plays and you know, limiting big plays. And you can't give up two big plays like that. You can't do that. You can't drop a punt at the 50-yard line. You can't do a lot of things that we did, you know. But yeah, those were disappointing.
Coach Fedora said in the end he was actually proud of the way his team displayed fight. They never gave up in the face of a big deficit on the road in a hostile environment.
You know, there was never a situation in the game where I felt like our guys gave up. Or, I mean, if that was the case, when we went back out from the rain delay, they wouldn't have gone out there and got after it and fought, you know. And, I mean, that's who we are. Those guys are going to fight all the way to the end. They're going to believe they can win a game no matter what's going on.
Tar Heels will manage to live on and fight another day. You can read the full recap of the game against South Carolina, along with a whole lot of other stuff on our website, chapelbro.com. Be sure and go to Huddle Up with the Heels. And you can also pick the winners of games all over the country. And get involved. You can win some great prizes. Wake Forest played last night as well, and Wake defeated Presbyterian, as they should have. Tanner Price accounted for a couple of touchdowns. Redshirt freshman Jonathan Williams had 143 yards receiving. Wake Forest forced six turnovers in their season opener, 31-7 over Presbyterian last night. In other sports, the defending national champion UNC women's soccer team set to begin the Carolina Nike Classic this weekend in Chapel Hill, hosted by the Tar Heels. The event should be a great way for local fans to get out and appreciate head coach Anson Dorrance's undefeated team. Senior Crystal Dunn was named co-ACC Player of the Week with Virginia's Morgan Bryan. The pair had standout performances at last weekend's Clarkner Classic to earn the conference honor, including three goals by the Tar Heel senior Dunn. As far as this weekend goes, UNC will play its first game today at 5 o'clock against New Mexico. Tar Heels will wrap up the weekend's play on Sunday afternoon at 3 with a match against Kennesaw State. Just two games into the season, Carolina has not even been scored on. More details at chapelbro.com. UNC volleyball team gets the season underway tonight at 8 o'clock against Notre Dame at Middle Tennessee State's Blue Raider Bash. Carolina Panthers had a successful preseason win last night over the Pittsburgh Steelers, 25-10. Not many of the regulars played. Only a handful of starters played. Both coaches took a long look at players further down the depth chart. Ted Ginn Jr. had an outstanding night. He caught five passes for 149 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And high school football coming your way tonight on WCHL. Two games, believe it or not, two high school football games tonight on WCHL and chapelbro.com. East Chapel Hill at Carrboro. Paul Connell and Anthony Wellman will have the call for you. And exclusively on chapelbro.com, WCHL's website, Northern Durham at Orange. Jeff Hamlin and Walter Storholt will have the call. So two games going on tonight. Our coverage actually starts at 6:30 with a grid with Rand Northam. Pre-game shows at the respective game sites begin at 7. Kickoff times, both games, 7:30 tonight. Nobody covers high school football in our community like WCHL. Listen on WCHL and also 97.9 FM, WCHL, 1360 AM, and also on chapelbro.com. You get the whole story. Two different games going on tonight. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Tar Heels muffed a golden opportunity in Columbia last night. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Couldn't have been a happy ride home for Larry Fedora and his second Carolina football team. It lost a strange opener at sixth-ranked South Carolina that frankly looked a lot worse than it was. From a nervous start to a stumbling finish, with a critical muff in between, the Tar Heels likely kicked themselves all the way back to Chapel Hill for being so jittery early and then failing to finish drives. UNC's overmatched defensive line and secondary coughed up a quick 17 points, and most fans watching who didn't have a dog in the fight had to start flipping channels. We were hoping this night would showcase the real Carolina in the new baby blue helmets, and there were some better moments to follow. But between the poor start and the 90-minute weather delay, which took the game off ESPN, much of what the Tar Heels did well wound up obscured. The key play, of course, was after Bryn Renner led them on a 70-yard sustained drive for his first TD pass of the season to Quinshard Davis. The fired-up D then forced a Gamecocks punt from deep in their end, which would have given Renner room to operate from midfield full of confidence. But return man T.J. Thorpe muffed the chance to make it a one-score game by halftime. They had regained all the momentum in the third quarter after driving to the South Carolina 2 before settling for a field goal from hometown boy Thomas Moore. To that point, they had run the first 22 plays of the half, but it took South Carolina one snap to go 75 yards and put the game away with another long touchdown strike. Then the lightning struck, followed by the storm delay. Upon resumption, with no chance to win, Fedora wanted his team to score and finish on a positive note. But Renner stumbled in front of the goal line, and the frustrating night finally ended after a scoreless fourth quarter. There were many good signs mixed in, especially how talented the Heels are and how much better shape they were in, wearing down the South Carolina defense early in the game. The ballyhoo Jadavian Clowney had to take himself out on several occasions because he was clearly gassed. Unfortunately, our Carolina flamed out at the wrong times, promising a long 9 days on the practice field before the Heels have a chance to take it out on Middle Tennessee. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
You wouldn't start a new addition to your home without the right tools. And if you're growing your small business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS store, we have a small business growth toolkit that includes posters, flyers, brochures, a large retract banner, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business growth toolkit today at the UPS stores, your go-to source for your to-do list.
The UPS stores at Meadowmont, Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard, next to the Chapel Hill University Inn.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill is breaking records this month with the Performance BMW 150. I'm Gerald Lemoyne, General Manager of Performance BMW. Never before have we sold 150 BMWs in 1 month, and we want to blow that threshold away. Getting your dream car comes at a very affordable price this month. As low as 0.9% financing is available on many certified pre-owned BMWs this month. And BMW will also make your first two payments on select certified models. Wow! Follow our progress on Facebook and Twitter. We sell 150 BMWs this month. Every person who bought this month will be automatically entered into a drawing for a weekend escape to Asheville or Wilmington and the use of a BMW to enjoy for the weekend. Wow! The Performance BMW 150, your opportunity to win.
Select models for BMW incentives. See dealer for details. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS. Take delivery before 8/31/2013.
Visit our virtual showroom at performancebmw@chapelhill.com. Certified pre-owned BMWs come with a protection plan for up to 6 years or 100,000 miles. Performance BMW is a Hendrick team member. BMW is the ultimate driving machine, 2013 Center of Excellence and volume leader.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than 3 decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
No suitcase required. Best Tile is here to make your dream design project a reality with their unsurpassed global selection of tiles. And you only have to travel down the road. The team at Best Tile has sourced the globe so they can bring you the imported selections that you love close to home. Best Tile is located right in your neighborhood between Chapel Hill and Durham at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, just off I-40. So stop by and visit their extraordinary showroom and all that the world has to offer without ever leaving the triangle. Best Tile, local store, global selection. Begin your quest at besttile.com.
The Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness is seeking volunteers and donations for Project Connect. This is a free event that provides essential services to those who otherwise could not afford them. Volunteers can greet guests and assist with the event setup and breakdown. Project Connect will be on Thursday, October 10th from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Hargraves Community Center at 216 North Roberson Street in Chapel Hill. For more information, call 919-245-2496.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deals. Brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather, presented by the Carolina Inn, specifically the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. 71 degrees in Chapel Hill, 70 in Carrboro, mostly sunny, high today in the middle 80s. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 65, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, slight chance of rain in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 80s, kind of a muggy day. Tomorrow night, still a slight chance of rain with a low in the upper 60s, and then on Sunday, partly sunny, 30% chance of rain in the afternoon, and the high in the upper 80s on Sunday to end your Labor Day weekend, or leading up to Labor Day. On Monday, in case you're wondering about that, it's going to be partly cloudy, chance of rain 50%, high in the upper 80s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Hour of the Morning News is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
834, 71 degrees at WCHL, I'm Ron Stutz. Election season is here. The race is on for the 10 candidates competing for four seats in the Chapel Hill Town Council. Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, running unchallenged for re-election, said he hoped to have council members who would embrace the growth and change happening in downtown Chapel Hill. And here's WCHL's Rachel Nash with more on the story. Coming up on WCHL.
We have a mission as a community to move ourselves forward. Change will happen, and we just want to make sure it's what we want it to be and not let it just happen to us.
Kleinschmidt shared those thoughts at the Friends of Downtown Chapel Hill Candidate Forum on Thursday. With incumbents Gene Peace and Lauren Eastham choosing not to run for re-election, there will be at least two new faces on the council this coming November. The incumbents, Mayor Pro Tem Ed Harrison and Sally Green, are expected to retain their seats. Challengers include George Cianciolo, Lauren Hintz, Gary Kahn, Paul Newby, Maria Palmer, Amy Ryan, and D.C. Swinton. Those who emerge victorious will have to tackle change and the many issues facing the town related to a high growth rate. And with growth comes problems such as wealth disparity and the diminishing option for affordable housing. Here's George Cianciolo, who served as the co-chair of the Chapel Hill 2020 Comprehensive Committee.
The fact of the matter is the Chapel Hill will never be more affordable unless we provide more supply. It's a case of supply and demand. And as long as the demand is high and the supply is low, housing will continue to be at high cost.
Nebe, a real estate broker and classical musician, championed growth and business, advocating for greater commercial development.
Chapel Hill already has a shortage of affordable housing. One solution to this, one way to reduce taxes, is by increasing commercial development. Whether we like it or not, Chapel Hill is going to grow. The key is allowing it to grow without reducing our quality of life. I think this is possible with careful planning.
Green, who is a member of the Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness, said that as part of the group's work this past year, they found permanent housing for seven chronically homeless people.
For tenants of public housing, it needs to be clearer what their realistic steps are to get out of public housing and to get to the next level of what they can afford in the community.
Harrison, who is seeking his fourth term, said that in the beginning of his time on the town council, many had reservations about growth in downtown. Now, he said he embraced initiatives like the Chapel Hill 2020 plan and Rosemary Imagined.
Well, we've let that horse out of the barn, and I really don't mind it. I think we could have refined some of it, but we have accepted that downtown is about as good a place in town with density as anywhere.
Kahn, a regular attendee of the council meetings as an observer, said that if development happens, he thought it should be consistent. Palmer, an educator and pastor, said that she supported development, but in the wake of this summer's mass flooding, the town should examine carefully where it builds. Swinton, who at just 25 years of age is the youngest candidate for the council, pointed out that economic growth in downtown will likely help the homeless problem in Chapel Hill.
There still is this perception that homeless people are bad people. And when you have any sort of issue of homelessness in the first place, it's because of the lack of economic opportunities for those persons. Even if it's just a minimum wage job, we don't have enough of them.
Hence, a former teacher and past chair of the Transportation Board explained his thoughts on the state of homelessness in downtown.
I support the idea of encouraging people to donate to organizations rather than individuals.
For profiles on all of the candidates, you can visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
72 degrees, 838 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, those of us who listen to WCHL regularly, we know Wayne Pond as Ron Stutz, Word of the Day man. Every weekday, he challenges with an odd or an interesting new word to add to our vocabulary. But Wayne's worn many other hats. He was the host of the popular nationally syndicated radio program produced called Soundings, produced by the National Humanities Center. And he directed for a long time the weekend seminars for Carolina's program in the humanities. And did you know this? Long before Ron came, Wayne was the morning man on WCHL. Well, now in his sort of retirement, he wears another hat. It's a sombrero. He's a Spanish teacher. And it's at a unique Spanish language immersion program sponsored by Central Carolina Community College at its Siler City location. When Wayne Pine told me what he was doing, I said, I want to sign up for that. And he responded, DG, this program is for people who've had quite a bit of Spanish, not people like you who've never had a formal Spanish lesson. But with out consulting Wayne further, I signed up for that week-long program. And it turned out that the lead teacher was a woman named Stephanie Honowski. She grew up in Puerto Rico. She welcomed our six-person class with great enthusiasm, but she let us know from the beginning that her effort was going to be to increase our conduct in conversational skills. I will be talking to you, and when I ask you a question, I will give you the verb to use in your answer, and then I will insist that you give me an answer with a complete sentence, and you will do better if you use the verb form that I give you in the question. Ooh, Wayne was correct. I was far behind the other five students in the class. But our teacher knew how to work with me and with the rest of the group who put up with me. In fact, one of them said to me, I'm glad that you're in the class because I know that when Stephanie is working with you on conversation, the rest of us are going to be able to take a breather because it's going to take a long time. Well, some of the most interesting parts of the class were our joint sessions with some of the Latin American students in the English as a second language classes also held at the community college. And what we would do is we'd pair up with folks in the English as a second language class for 10 minutes at a time. And in each session, we would spend about 5 minutes talking only Spanish and then about 5 minutes talking only English. So we each got a chance. So it turned out to be a great way to learn the language and a wonderful connection with the struggles of the people from all over Latin America who are living with us now and how they're getting along in their new lives in our country. And we had a great challenge. We were taken to the Lorna Bonita store and cafe in Siler City, and one of the friends of the owner guided us around the class, showing us the options of the meals and the groceries that Spanish-speaking immigrants might order. All that's a great experience. But did I learn to speak Spanish in just 1 week? No, not yet, but I'm off to a good start. Thanks to Señor Wayne Pond. Buenos dias, Wayne. This is D.G. Martin.
Good morning. It is 8:42 at WCHL, and I said earlier today there was one way to sum up last night's football game in Columbia. Ouch! That's pretty much the way all Tar Heel fans felt, I think. It was a game that appeared at a couple of different points that Carolina was coming back, but it was not to be. Lauren Brownlow has been covering the Tar Heels for quite some time, and Lauren, what were your impressions of last night's game? And other than the fact that North Carolina was pretty terrible most of the time, are there any positives that you can draw out of Carolina's performance?
Yeah, you know, I think there are. After the initial few big plays led up by the defense, I think they kind of settled in and played okay. They were kind of pushed around up front, but I don't think that was a huge surprise to anybody. I thought guys like Norquita Zotis played well. He wasn't necessarily a proven commodity coming into the game. So, you know, I think that there are some positives to take out of it. I think South Carolina is just pretty good. But they only ended up scoring 27. I'm sure Spurrier would have liked to have scored more.
Well, he tried at the end there, didn't he? I thought that was really annoying, but I thought Larry Fedora had a great comeback by calling the timeout.
That was a fun little sequence there, I think, for all of us. Because, you don't often see Spurrier get return fire like that, so it was kind of neat to see them go back and forth there for a minute.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous, but I was glad that Coach Fedora did what he did. But the Tar Heels, obviously, it will be a different ball game next Saturday, Carolina at home, And hopefully they can rebuild the confidence that might have been lost with last night's game when they play in Kenan Stadium.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get the sense that a lot of confidence was lost. I mean, obviously they were really pumped up for this game. But, you know, I think that they understand it's a tough place to play, it's a tough place to win, and you can take some positives out of it. But it's almost like deja vu with this group, though, because just a few mistakes here and there and kind of a rough start to the game, and you're just kind of in a hole you can't climb out of. And I think that was what might have been frustrating to Tar Heel fans to watch, because it feels like a lot of the same issues from last year, maybe on both sides of the ball, have come back. But I think that they're still pretty confident. They're still a pretty confident bunch, and now if it goes badly next weekend, they have a little bit of a struggle, it might be a different story.
One final question for you, Lauren. We're talking to Lauren Brownlow, Fox Sports Carolinas. You know, we're always talking about making a better game atmosphere here, making a better game day experience and everything. And what you experienced down in Columbia is a lot like what we're going for here. It's kind of a rabid place, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, we got around in the stadium area, gosh, it was around 2:30 or 3, and it's 3 hours before game time, and it's already packed. There's already a ton of traffic. People try to park and tailgate. There's already crowds of people walking around, just walking around the stadium, and it was kind of crazy. I mean, they talk about SEC atmospheres and stuff, but, I mean, this was legit. And, I mean, if you can create something like that, you know, on Franklin Street or on campus, you know, Tar Heel Town or whatever, I mean, that would be really cool, because they need something like that to kind of get the build-up going, get people excited, and get more and more people kind of in the area and ready to go to Kenan and cheer.
Well, it certainly helps to have 85,000 fans, the great majority of whom are pulling for you when you're in the stands. And Tar Heels deserve that kind of an atmosphere here in Chapel Hill, and hopefully we will eventually get there. Lauren Brownlow, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Try and recover. Get a little rest over the weekend, and we'll be sure and talk with you next week as we lead up to the Tar Heels' next game, and not only here on the WCHL Morning Show, but also during Countdown to Kickoff.
Great, looking forward to it.
Lauren Brownlow, WCHL. I'm Rod Sutz. Coming up, today's commentary in the way from Brian Thornburg.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
I'm Mark Vitale. I'm the owner of All About Insurance, one of Nationwide's largest insurance agencies. Very proud to be the leader of that operation. So I was raised a little different. My dad raised me that work was the essence of everything. Even though I'm a workaholic, I believe that you need to have time to shut it off, and you need to be able to enjoy your family, your spouse, whoever it may be. And it's so important, because if you get wrapped up in the everyday work, 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 this has got to be done, people suffer that are part of your family. People that are workaholics get so intensely involved that they forget that balance of life is the most important thing. Fortunately, we're able to travel all over the world. I love to go in and watch. I ask questions about how they run their businesses. How do they run their lives? How do they run their families? Because reality is this. You can be the best business person in the world or the best employee in the world. And if it's all you do and you forget your family, you haven't done anything. So you can call in Chapel Hill at 919-933-4000 or stop in at Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard, or you could check us out at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Terra Nova Global Properties is locally owned. We're on Main Street in Carrboro, affectionately known as the Paris of the Piedmont. The global in our name means we are trained and qualified to find you a pied-à-terre in Paris, the real one. I'm Mariana Fiorentino, owner and broker. Around the corner or around the globe, we are focused on international buyers moving here or those of you chasing your dream to live abroad.
Terra Nova Global Properties, focused on you. Online at terranovaglobal.com.
Ever dreamed of meeting your perfect match? Meet Clara, an 82-year-old ex-dancing queen seeking a caring soul who enjoys pasta and is comfortable driving. Find out if you're Clara's perfect match by becoming a home instead caregiver. Working with seniors in their homes can be challenging, but tremendously rewarding. Enjoy training, support, flexible shifts, and a job that nurtures the soul. Learn more at homeinstead.com/caregiver.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Join us this Friday, August 30th from 2 to 6 p.m. for a customer appreciation event at our Chapel Hill North store off MLK Jr. Boulevard. Win great prizes, sample free food and drink, and learn how to save 18 cents per gallon on gasoline. Giveaways, savings, and fun this Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Cruisers in Chapel Hill North. It's our way of saying thanks to our customers in this community.
Cruisers, good to go.
This is Ron Stetz. Congratulations again to AutoLogic and Carboro. The top 50 family-friendly businesses in North Carolina have been named, and once again, AutoLogic is on the list. Chosen by the Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC and Carolina Parenting, Inc., and AutoLogic is on the list for the fourth consecutive year based on helping employees balance their work and family life. AutoLogic creates an environment to support and care for its employees, which helps make AutoLogic a successful and sustainable family-friendly business in our local community. AutoLogic. Trust and logic for your car.
Hey, don't forget, I'm going to be on the air this afternoon between 3:30 and 5:30, along with WCHL's Anthony Wellman and the whole community crew at Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, Chapel Hill North. All kinds of specials. You can win some great prizes. You can save money on gas. We have all the details coming up. And you know those 79-cent fountain drinks they have every day of the week, no matter how big they are? Well, today, they are, between 2 and 6 p.m. at least, 49 cents. So that's a good incentive to come by right there. We'll see you later today at WCHL's broadcast at Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, Chapel Hill North. It's 8:50 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Brian Thornburg. I don't know about you, but I'm awfully proud of our state senator, Ellie Kinnaird, although now she's a former senator. If you haven't heard, she resigned rather than sit in a one-sided Senate. Some good neighbors of ours are in consideration for her office, but that's not what I wanted to talk to you about. It's what Ellie said is the other reason she decided to resign, the now infamous voter ID law. We could argue the merits of that law, but the bottom line is, it's now harder for all of us to vote. All of us. Ellie said she was leaving office to start a campaign to make sure we all understand what we need to do so that we can all vote. I know I'll be working, too, because I know that the government we get is the one we ask for, and the only real way we have to ask for what we want is with our vote. We all are supposed to get a vote. And those of you who don't vote, either because you don't think it'll matter or you think politicians are all the same, you're actually making a choice by not making a choice, and you'll probably get the government you deserve. As with most things, silence means agreement. So what can we do to ensure we all get to vote? Well, start with you. Are you registered? Your family? Your neighbors? If you need to know how to register, call the Board of Elections or visit their website, but don't let anyone take away what's yours. Franklin Roosevelt once said, "Nobody will ever deprive the American people of the right to vote except the American people themselves, and the only way they could do this is by not voting." This is Brian Thornburg.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill is breaking records this month with the Performance 400. I'm Gerald Lemoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall. Never before have we sold 400 cars in 1 month, but we got very close last month, and this month we want to blow that threshold away.
I want performance.
This month is your month to save huge money on great deals. We sell Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, Subaru, and Hendrick certified used vehicles. Follow our progress on Facebook and Twitter. If we sell 400 cars this month, every person who bought this month will be automatically entered into a drawing for a free weekend escape to Asheville or Wilmington and the use of a vehicle to enjoy for the weekend. Wow!
I want performance!
The Performance 400, your opportunity to save, your opportunity to win. Visit our virtual showroom at performanceautomall.com where sales and service specials abound.
I want performance.
And remember, the wow is our promise. Best people, best service, best value, always. Performance Auto Mall is a Hendrick team member.
The Orange County Senior Centers will host a Medicare fraud event. The purpose is to help seniors to protect themselves from Medicare fraud, waste, and abuse. The event will take place on Wednesday, September 18th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill, followed by an afternoon session in Hillsboro at the Central Orange Senior Center from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. For more information, call the Senior Medicare Patrol at 877-996-2000. 2767.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. Experience really counts when you hire a broker to sell your most valuable possession, your house. I've been selling homes in Chapel Hill for over 27 years. With this experience under my belt, I am able to get your home sold for the most money and in less time. Contact me today, 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Wake up with Ron Stutz, and remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
Well, it seems like it was only about 10 minutes ago, but it was over an hour ago when we talked to Wayne Pond and got our word of the day on WCHL. You remember what it is? It's a six-letter word. It begins with a P. Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. Tell me the word of the day, the correct spelling, and the definition. If you're the first to do that, then you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Your number to call, once again, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the Performance Promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Carolyn White is a media specialist at McDougal Middle School. She's McDougal Middle School's media coordinator, and each year at McDougal, there's a special project for the kids, with which Carolyn is very involved.
Years ago, the social studies teachers and I and the gifted teacher attended a conference at UNC that was about global learning, and we decided to take a week that first year and focus on a topic that was local but also global. And that year we looked at climate change and global warming. And we all read, it turned out we read Al Gore's acceptance speech. He had won the Nobel Prize that year. As a school, we had a seminar on that. So then the next year we did World Hunger and did a huge fundraiser for Haiti.
The whole event each year is called Learning Without Borders. Carolyn White says in the spring, they chose a new topic.
We decided to look at water, access to clean water and sanitation. And there is a book that came out by Linda Sue Park called A Long Walk to Water. And Linda Sue Park, the author, actually has parents in Chapel Hill, and she was coming to Flyleaf to sign books, but agreed to come to McDougal and present to our seventh grade class. Well, we got enough copies of the book, so the entire seventh grade had already read her book when she came and presented to us.
Carolyn White, another outstanding educator, is today's WCHL hometown hero. She says each year the kids get a lot out of this project.
You've heard a lot about 21st century skills. That's sort of a buzzword that a lot of people use. And one component of that is a global awareness and an understanding that what we do impacts people globally and that we can make changes. Middle school students like experiential learning, and this is something that they can integrate everything they've learned in science about water. They can use their math. They're using their language arts in reading this book, and we're having a seminar. So they're sort of using everything they're learning and putting it into a project and looking beyond themselves. It's had huge impacts on kids.
Think globally, act locally. That's the message the kids take away. At McDougal Middle School, Carolyn White, media coordinator. She's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations, John Coffey of Chapel Hill, called in with the word of the day from Wayne Pond. It is penury, P-E-N-U-R-Y. It means frugality, or thrift, or cramping, or oppression, lack of resources, penury. That's the word of the day. And John Coffey gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you so much. Wayne will have another word for you on Monday morning.
This is Ron Stutz. Congratulations again to AutoLogic and Carborough. The top 50 family-friendly businesses in North Carolina have been named. And once again, AutoLogic is on the list. Chosen by the Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC and Carolina Parenting, Inc. And AutoLogic is on the list for the fourth consecutive year based on helping employees balance their work and family life. AutoLogic creates an environment to
support and care for its employees, which helps make AutoLogic a successful and sustainable family-friendly business in our local community. AutoLogic, trust and logic for your car.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the all-new Carolina 1663. It's half off. Introductory offers for breakfast, lunch, or dinner available now. Our Local Deal welcomes Carolina 1663, the latest in destination dining. Executive Chef McLean has created a menu that will beckon you to relax and enjoy his fresh, creative dishes. In addition to the dining room, come enjoy their wonderful full bar lounge and patio seating. It's half off from Carolina 1663. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
It's going to be mostly sunny today. Look for a high today of about 85.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce, plus social equity, plus environmental stewardship.